Reset.
That means a lot of things these days, doesn't it?
It means more than we knew.
Yeah,
we have people say, "Do you know what that word means?" I thought I did. I thought it meant start over. You know, the old Control Alt Delete on my computer. You know, something's not working right. You just reset it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this is pretty normal for us. Early in the year, we have a time where we kind of look back, then we look forward. We talk about vision and where God is taking us. And this week has been an unusual week for us. And as things have happened in our country and around us, and it's taking our energy and our time and our thoughts, we want to talk about that. But as we do that, I don't want you to miss something that I think is way more important. And that's what God is doing, and it's what He's going to do, and what He wants to do in our lives, in our hearts, what He has for us. I believe this is a watershed moment for our church. Not because of the things happening, but because where God is taking and leading us. So, you know, you think about that reset, the idea of starting over and a fresh start, and that's how I was looking, and maybe you were too, looking towards 2021, putting 2020 in our rearview mirror. And within a week, we go from orange for COVID to red, and then you all know what happened Wednesday in our Capitol. And I have struggled. I've been frustrated. I've been discouraged. I hate what's happening. I see hypocrisy like I've never seen it. I've seen anger and hate more than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And, you know, it's unsettling, and I don't always know what to make of it. But we were talking Thursday, Denny, yeah. And you used a word I think really resonated with me, and it was allegiance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the thing that's disturbed me for the last couple of years is how it's so easy for our allegiance to become kind of sidetracked and putting things above God and His kingdom. You know, I felt like last week was really the culmination of a whole year of frustration and anger, and I think I just felt like it came to the surface. You know, I think when you look at Americans in general, whether you're on the right or the left, whether you're Republican or a Democrat, whether you're white or black, we're just frustrated and we're tired. And, you know, you add COVID to that. And what we want to do is a very normal thing. We want to blame. We want to find the answer. We want to blame this person or that person. And, you know, as we thought about kind of how do we address this, I just felt like last week was kind of the tipping point for the frustration that we as Americans are feeling. I sure hope as an American citizen, I love this country, that we, our leaders can kind of come together from both sides and figure some broken problems, things we have that are broken that need to be fixed. But as I was watching the news, I got my year's worth of news in the other night, you know, when all this stuff was happening. I don't watch it a lot because it just gets me too worked up. I want to encourage you to maybe fast from the media for a while as well, as a follower of Christ. But I kept hearing this term. I heard it last summer when the unrest was happening in places like Portland specifically and Minneapolis and then, you know, Washington, D.C. this past week. I kept hearing news commentators saying, this is not who we are as Americans. This is just not who we are. Yes, it is. This is exactly who we are. This is exactly what the Bible tells us about our nature, about who we are. You know, you go back to the very beginning, you go to Genesis chapter 3, and you see when the enemy tempted Adam and Eve, who were living in perfect paradise, what did he tempt them with? If you eat that fruit from the tree, not only you're not going to die, but you're going to be like God. You'll know good from evil. You'll know right from wrong. And that has been our curse ever since. We judge one another. I'm right, you're wrong. And then what do we do? What did Adam and Eve do? Well, they hid from God, they hid from each other, and then they started blaming each other. And that's exactly what we're doing today. And there is no human fix for this. There are human solutions. The biggest surprise for me out of this whole thing is that we've done amazingly well as a country for so long, in spite of our human nature. But if you read history, this is kind of the way things typically go apart from Christ. And so, you know, what I want to encourage all of you with, and as Todd and I have been praying about this, let's focus on what Jesus explicitly asks of us as His followers. And He says, you are of another kingdom church. And I think we have an opportunity to build that kingdom while being good citizens and not hating one another and not judging one another and not blaming one another for every problem. And I know I want to do that. We all do, right? But this is who we are. And so next week, actually, I'm starting a series. The first three verses of Genesis, we're going to begin to look at our world and why we are the way we are today. And we want to just dig into this and kind of get it from a biblical standpoint. So let's hang in there. I know we're exhausted from all this and frustrated and angry and scared. But, you know, God has this, and he's always had it. And don't always understand his choices, but his will is perfect. And we just need to lean into that and trust him.
Yeah, and to recognize, even as we were singing and then being that verse and actually just saying, man, for such a time as this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think this has helped us. It's helped me. I'll just put it that way. I hope it's helped you guys to really be able to focus on what truly matters and where the solution lies. And we know where the solution lies. We know it's actually in the person of Jesus Christ. We know that's the hope.
Yeah.
That's the hope we have, and that's the hope of the world. And so as we've talked about this reset, this isn't something we just start talking about. This is actually several years in the making. And when you see the new vision and mission statement, when you see that mission statement, you'll think it took that long to get to this. But go ahead and put it up, and we'll start there. I think we have it.
Yeah, we have the new vision statement.
We probably skipped some slides we were supposed to do.
There we go, right there.
So growing deep in our relationship with Christ and sharing the hope of the gospel. Isn't that revolutionary? Isn't that, like, that took us 2.5 years. And not just us, we got whole teams working on this. And some of you were involved with this. But this is what we're talking about. And again, we have always felt this call. I know you've felt a call, Denny. But this idea of us going into the world, sharing Christ, people coming to faith, and then as we come to faith, that God immediately, he doesn't take us right out of the world. He actually leaves us in the world, but he doesn't leave us alone. He's there with us. He's inviting us into a deeper and deeper relationship with him. And so that's the revolutionary idea that God has for our church in this new mission statement, that we are going to be about these two things.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, and as long as the Lord allows us to be here, to see you grow, to see myself grow in a deeper relationship with Christ, and share the hope of the gospel.
And Todd, there are going to be some foundational truths that we want you to hear about and learn and understand over the next year or so. And you're going to be seeing some tangible things coming out. But let's go ahead and put those five kind of guiding principles or truths that we think are critically important for us. We believe, you know, if you start over here on the left, the world, it starts with the world. And we're going to begin to really dive into that next week from a biblical perspective. But we need to understand that the world is a broken place. And God chose to come into the world to fix it because he knew, left to our own devices, we could not fix ourselves. And then you look at how he, what is the instrument that he has chosen to continue the work that he started in the person of Christ? It's the church. It's us. And we want to really focus on what does it mean for us to be that church, the ecclesia. I mean, not a place, not a building, and all those things. And then we want every single believer to understand three basic truths about, and we call it the way, the truth, and the life. And the way is really, what is the way to God? We unapologetically believe it is through Jesus Christ alone. And then once you know the way, what's the truth? The truth about you changes. Your identity changes, and so many of us struggle with our identity. We still look at ourselves the way we did before Christ, and we want to help you understand what your identity in Christ looks like. And then the life is really that life truth. Like Todd just alluded to, once you accept Christ, he doesn't just take us to heaven because that's what it's all about. He leaves us here to live a life on mission, and every one of you as a follower of Christ has that, and we also are committed to focusing on helping you as the church body discover, you know, what that means. And so, you know, Todd, this kind of leads to why we exist. Why do we exist? And I want to kind of spend some time on that, and I want you to dive into, you know, we exist to change the world. Let's talk about that.
To change the world. We carry the hope of the world. This church, you, if you know Christ, you within you, Christ in you is the hope of the world, and we are to be on that mission, and God has invited each one of us into his mission. So this mission statement is maybe lackluster as it sounds. It doesn't have all the polish and all the punch that we'd like it to. It has everything we need to recognize that God is inviting you into a deeper relationship with Him so that you would be a part of His, and here's the key, eternal purpose. And we know how good He is, or most of the time we know how good He is, but He's inviting each one of us individually in to be a part of His eternal purpose. That's that mission that we have, and we get to be a part of that. And so often I find myself just kind of on the sidelines and not actually seeing that for what it is. And I think about what God has, and you think about Christ. And I've been thinking a lot about this in light of just this past few days. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. And we think of John 3:16, and we want to look at that verse because it's really at the heart of this, that this is what God's heart is. This is part of His mission, that He so loved the world, right, that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. They wouldn't have to perish, but they'd have eternal life. That's the message we get to take. That's what God's mission is for the world, for those that don't know Him, to experience that love through His Son, Jesus Christ.
I think, and it's so interesting. You know, you think about this verse that is probably, it's very famous. Tim Tebow really made it famous when he had John 3:16 on his eye black, on those eye patches that he wore. But, you know, if God loves the world, we should love the world. And it literally means the cosmos, the tangible, physical, the human world. And I think part of what we struggle with is we think each other are the enemy. We're not each other's enemy. The enemy is Satan, and he wants to put us at odds with one another. If God loved the world enough to come here and die for us, we're called to do the same for our world, to love our world, even those with whom, you know, we disagree. And I think, as I think about, Todd, you know, our calling, you know, when I felt a call to ministry, when Jesus got a hold of my life, I talked about this a little bit last week. I just felt like, okay, as a follower of Christ, this is what I do. I do what Jesus asks me to do. And so for me, it was a call to be a pastor, but it was always driven by this John 3:16 truth that I could not shake. And that is, if God loves the world so much that He would die for it, I better be willing to do the same and share that truth. And I know for you, the call was the same.
Was it as broken when He said that as it is now?
Yeah,
it seems more broken now, right? I shouldn't be sarcastic, but right, wasn't the world broken then? It's always been broken, and we don't always see all the brokenness, but it is broken, and yet we're sent into that. And I know you have had that defining moment. You've shared that many times with us, but really behind that call, not just the experience and kind of that moment, but what has driven you these
Matthew
years?
Matthew 28, I've talked about it hundreds of times over the years, and that's, you know, the what we call the Great Commission, where Jesus, some of His last words to His followers before He died before He ascended to heaven was, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. And, you know, that still applies to us today, to obey all the commands that I have given you. And that's not... it's not rocket science like I talked about last week. It's not complicated, but it is very difficult to do. But as a follower of Jesus, we have got to be willing to make sure our allegiance are to those marching orders above, you know, all else. And then, you know, it's interesting, you know, Todd, one of the things, and this is where we're going to begin to really talk about the most significant change here, but what is the... you know, the means that God uses, that God has always chosen since the time of Christ to change the world, to impact the world. Let's talk about that, because that's where the rubber really meets the road for us.
Yeah,
it's the church.
It is the church.
As imperfect as we are.
And as anemic as we are, and frustrated and distracted, it is us. And the burden of that, I hope you feel that, like to think, oh, how are we going to do this? And we don't mean, when we say church, we're not talking about the church as an institution. We're talking about each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who've placed our faith in Christ, that it's actually on us. And so part of the failure of the church has been our failure. And that's why we want to get back to these basics of recognizing that my own personal growth and falling deeper in relationship and love with Christ that I might reflect him to this broken world, that you might reflect him to this broken world. And then together and individually, we would take on the responsibility of going into the world and sharing Christ.
But part of it is us having a proper understanding of church. You know, we typically say things like, you know, we've talked about that around here. It's like, well, I go to that church and that church is located here and there. When Jesus breathed the church into existence in Matthew 16, 18, when he was speaking to Peter and saying, Peter, upon your leadership, and in Matthew 16, 18, he says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. When Jesus breathed life into the church, this thing called the church, the word literally is ekklesia, not a place, not a building. It's us. We are the church. You can't say, well, I go to church, because you are the church. We are the church, and we want to help us better understand the implications and ramifications of that. And so, you know, if Jesus is the hope of the world, we are the instrument that he has chosen to continue, you know, what he started. So.
Well, that verse just, it's a comfort to me. He hadn't even died yet. He was prophesying what he was going to do, and he says he's going to build a church. He is. He's going to build his church. That's where there should be some, as much as we feel that burden to be involved and that God wants to use us, it's also knowing that he's the one that does the work and he is building his church. The question is, will we be involved with that? Or will he need to have others do that? We have this opportunity to be involved with what he says he's going to do in building the church. And I you know, you think about such a time as this, now more than ever, and some of the things that have hindered the church in the past, like it was just a place to come, and it was kind of the end thing to even do, and you just kind of come, and it doesn't matter, and there's no really consequence, maybe even a benefit if you just come to church. Coming to this building and seeing other people versus a deeper relationship with Christ. I believe that day is past us. And as time goes on, I think we're going to see even more of that. And you've talked a lot about that. In your mind, you've seen this thing. I think you've described as sifting.
Well, you know,
help
I mean,
us
I think
understand
we can look,
what you mean by
yeah,
that.
Well, we can look at the church right now, and we can look at the state of our world and how we are not as Jesus-friendly as a culture as we were even 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And I hear all this doom and gloom, like, well, you know, if this or that happens in the government, they're going to take away our 501c3 and they're going to keep us from meeting. If that stops us, we're pretty pathetic. That has never stopped the church. In fact, resistance has only caused the church to stand up and say, no, to live is Christ, but to die is far better. And I think that the way God is strengthening his church right now is he's going to sift out those who want to continue to be spiritual consumers of spiritual goods and services, who are just kind of going, I want enough of Jesus to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I want enough of him to really mess with my life. I think that's got to change. We've got to change. And I think that God is in a process of sifting the church in America and around the world right now. And I think we're going to come out of it stronger because people, we're all going to have to decide. Am I going to follow Christ or am I just going to kind of hang around the fringes? And I think that it's never been a good option, but it's become clearer and clearer for at least we as Americans today. We better get serious about following Christ and living out our mission.
So just explain that more. What do you mean by following Christ?
Well, do what he says. I mean, things like right now, I'll just say the most unpopular thing I could say right now as a follower of Christ, I didn't say it. Jesus said, in the midst of the most oppressive government in modern history, or more modern history, the Roman government, he said, love your enemy. In fact, that Roman soldier who exploits you and beats you and abused you and has probably killed some of your family, in fact, help him carry his stuff. Not just 1 mile, but two. No wonder the Jews didn't see him as a Messiah. They thought he was going to come in to overthrow the Roman government, which is far more oppressive than anything we can imagine. And yet he said, the key to turning this whole thing over is to love your enemy. Now, who can remember 2,000 years later who the emperor was then? Not many people, but we all know Jesus. So what wins? Love always wins. And so that's kind of just the tip of the iceberg. Just doing what Jesus said to do. I talked about it last week. This is what we do. This is what we do. It is not complicated. It is hard, but it is not complicated.
It is hard. And we all have that experience in our own life, following him. and growing, and yet God is faithful.
So Todd, in our the time we have left, this is always challenging when you got two very verbal people that like to talk a lot sitting here and sharing a half an hour. We have to discipline ourselves.
This was more work than normal. But
let's
anyway.
Let's get to the heart of what we're seeing as the reset. Because you know, we're not gonna lay it all out for you today, but you're gonna see evidence of this over the months and the this coming year where we're gonna do some serious shifting. But if you take nothing else away from today with you about what does it mean that we're going to change as a church, and we've alluded to this, you know, for years we've been known as a seeker church. We open the doors to everyone for people who are seeking spiritually. They can come in and maybe come to Christ. What we're going to do is change our focus. Our gatherings on Sunday morning are no longer going to be geared toward those seekers. Now, I hope seekers always feel welcome here. The primary focus of our gatherings on Sunday mornings moving forward is going to be to equip and grow the body of Christ up, the church, ecclesia, to be strengthened and gifted and informed as we go out into the world and make disciples. That's on us, not here, but there. We want to continue to be an attractional church, but attractive when we're scattered versus attractive when we're gathered. And that's going to be at the heart of our change.
Yeah, Ephesians, you can put that verse up. I'm not going to take the time to read it. You can read it behind me right now. But that idea of the church and what that means you and I. And us growing in our relationship with Him and being equipped. And I guess when I think about, I kind of liked it when we'd just be able to invite someone to come in here, come to church, and they would hear the gospel here. And what we're saying is we're going to change not what God has done. We're going back to Matthew 28. But we're putting the focus and the emphasis on you as God's children. And when we come together, it is a time of us being built up in our faith, growing in our faith, falling more in love with Christ, becoming more of a follower of Him, so that when we go out, that we'll do what God wants for us. And that's to share Him and His love and His grace with this dying world. And when we say world, we're actually meaning people. The people in your life, God wants to use you to reach them. And if you're like me, you're thinking, that's a little unnerving. I get nervous, a little sweaty just thinking about some of those conversations.
I would use a little anecdotal example of that. Let's say in years past, like the biggest challenge is I got this person I work with and I finally got them to come to church, so maybe they'll hear the gospel and maybe they'll come to Christ. Let's shift that a little bit. We want to equip you to be able to lead that person to Christ and then walk alongside of them and disciple them. Some of you go, whoa, wait a minute. Now, I'm not a pastor. Right. Our job as pastors is to equip you to do that. And once you do that, it is a game changer. Once you're there at that moment of leading someone to Christ, and then you walk alongside of them, maybe for weeks or months before they ever step foot inside of this building, which is okay, but eventually, because once they accept Christ, they are the church. Now you need to help them grow up in that. And you're like, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, that's part of what we're going to help you know and understand and grow into. And that's kind of the exciting part about it. Now, you know, we've been making some subtle shifts, and maybe, you know, people have picked it up. They've talked to both of us. It's like, you seem to be preaching a little bit more like straight from the Bible. Yeah, if you've noticed that, it's true. It's going to continue.
Anybody noticed?
I hope you have. And with worship, I mean, there's a very clear place that I know Nick and the team want to take you. They want you to climb to the mountain of God. They want you to come in here maybe as you were in a tough week or whatever, but get to that mountain peak where you leave here and I've met God today. That's what we want to do. And those are just some of the things. But there's going to be more, you know, coming as we go, you know, further into this. But one of the things that I wanted to just spend just a couple minutes talking about is we alluded to with those five principles that I talked about, those foundational truths, I guess, the way, the truth, and the life. You've been talking about these things for years, and I think we finally came up with something that we can all remember, the way, the truth, and the life, because Jesus said, I am the
Jesus
way, the
said,
truth,
I
and the
am
life.
That.
So we're kind of
so,
copying from Him, but talk about those a little bit.
Well, it's just that idea, and again, it's a framework for us. It's a scaffolding for us to work off when we're together, and the way is how we came to faith. That no one can come to God except through Christ. There's a lot of ways to Christ, but there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And to know that story, and then what God did through that. And then when you think about the way, but then the truth. What is the truth? And this is something we struggle with so much, and that's who we are in Christ. It's who he says we are versus what the world says, how I feel, what my parents told me, what my friends tell me, what I feel at work. It's actually the truth. And the truth is how much God loves you and what he has done for you and what he's given you and who he calls you. And then we get into the life, and that life is experiencing his goodness every day. It's growing deeper, and that's why you'll be seeing some more changes. You'll see us to dive into some books like we did Philippians this summer and actually work our way through a book, because that's where the life is found. And so as his children that we come to faith through Christ alone, we understand who we are, because that's the impetus behind us willing to go out there and be made fun of and be rebuked and feel a certain way about ourselves and not fitting in, because we know who we are and whose we are. And then that life. And that life is to be lived on mission. And I know those times in my life that I haven't been living on that mission. And when I am, there's just such a difference.
Yeah.
The purpose, the intent. It's part of my frustration is when I'm not on mission, I get frustrated very quickly. Mm-hmm. But when I'm on mission, I'm looking for things and seeing things that seem bad around me as opportunities.
Well, and I think that's one of the common frustrations that we hear as pastors is, I just don't know what my calling is. Well, your calling, we all have the same calling, and that's to go into the world and make disciples. The specific nature of your calling is going to be different than Todd's and mine, but it's still a calling. We want to help you find that and discover that, because I think that's where the church is going to shine, because people in our culture today are just not all that interested in coming to church, so we need to go to them. And you know, again, getting back to those five foundational truths, just one of the changes, the next two series we're going to do are going to be through Genesis, part of Genesis and part of Acts, to understand the world, you know, based on those five truths. Let's put that slide up there, because you're going to maybe get sick of seeing this, but we want you to understand the world. You know, we're going to talk for the next, you know, month or two about the world from a Genesis perspective. You know, why is the world the way it is? If we don't understand the world, it's going to be hard for us to know how to go into it properly. And then I think we're going to take a look at the book of Acts and how the early church, when it was raised up, how it functioned, because we want to really have a clear understanding biblically of who we are gathered, so that we'll have a better understanding of what it is we're to do when we're scattered. And so that's just a couple of things that are coming around the bend. And we've restructured our entire organization, and we want to spend just the last couple minutes talking about that, around two very, very important things.
Yeah, and that's evangelism and discipleship.
Yeah.
Building his church has these two equal and fundamentally important pieces. Us growing in our relationship with Christ, that's our growth maturity, that's the discipleship. And on the other side is evangelism. It's actually sharing that faith and living that life out in front of other people so that they might come to know this God who loves them so much he died for them.
Yep.
So organizationally, what we've done, and we've gone from having a lot of departments and a lot of different focuses, that we're actually aligning everything under those two things. And so we're going to talk about some of those changes, but we are going to do those two fundamental things. Maybe not flashy, but what we need, and that's discipleship, and that's evangelism. And then, of course, we have support that supports both sides of those ministries. There's a lot of things that happen around here and all over to see ministry to be effective, but those are the two fundamental things.
Well, and one of the things as it relates to us, Todd and I's role are changing, and you're going to be hearing about that, and so you understand it. You hear it first, so you don't speculate about it. I am no longer going to be co-senior pastor with Todd. He's no longer going to be co-senior pastor with me. Todd is going to become our lead pastor. He will be over WCC organizationally, and I will take on the title founder. And you're kind of going, what's that mean? You get to do whatever you want to do? No, it kind of, but I get to focus, and I'm going to become founder because I am. And I'll continue to preach and do the things that you see me doing, but my focus is going to be on that evangelism piece. That is my heart. That is my soul. I want this church, I want the church, capital C, in this community, to be the biggest influencer. That's what we ought to be. We ought to be making our culture, making our city, making our community better in the name of Jesus. And that is what I'm going to spend the rest of my life focusing on. This allows us to do that. And then, you know, we have Bonnie Swanson will be over the discipleship aspect of things, and Dennis Kaltice over the operational aspect of things. But just to give you, for you visual learners, this is kind of what this shift looks like for Todd and I in our new roles. We were kind of having some fun with that. I'll be the one in the hole, digging the holes, and he'll be the one bossing me around. kidding.
It was your house.
Last week it was my house. I had a water line break, and he came over last Saturday to help me fix it. That's how we started the year off, isn't it?
It was.
So for all your home improvement needs, he's your guy. But in all seriousness, I'm excited to be working alongside of Todd and to working with him. I'm excited about these changes and these shifts that we're making, this reset that we're doing. And you're going to be hearing more and more about it. We just gave you a very high-level picture of it today to kind of kick this year off. But at the core of this belief, it is that we are going to be a strong, growing, equipped body of people who are going to go into the world and make a huge difference. But I want us to kind of end our time together today. Todd and I want to give you a little bit of an encouragement and a challenge. So we have to stand up to do that.
We have to do that. I think I would just say from a challenge perspective, just get before the Lord. Ask him what things have been hindering you. We're going to be asking each other together to let go of some things that have hindered us along the way. If you don't know what those are, ask him. He'll show those to you. He doesn't want you to be hindered. But then as you recognize him, ask him to help you to let go of them. And as we let go of those things, God can then give us new things, his things. And that's a question, and that will be one of the fundamental differences moving forward. But that's how we'll measure whether we're moving forward. Not how many people are here. Not how many things we're doing in the week. But where's our relationship at with him? Am I falling deeper in love with him? Am I being transformed by the power of his Spirit? You, me, is that happening in our lives? We know that that's that first piece, that first thing that needs to happen. So this week, just want to challenge you to do that, to surrender. That's the first step in following him more closely. What are those things you need to surrender? And then ask God to help you to give them up, to let go of them, and to pursue him. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be pursuing him together. And I just wanted to pray for you, pray for us, whether you're here or online. I just want to ask God to help us with that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of the changes that are taking place in our lives, and no more important than you and the changes you want to make in our life. God, I want to ask you to help each one of us to just come to you and ask you to help us, to show us, to reveal to us those areas that we're just hanging on to, things that have hindered us, things that are holding us back from following you. And Lord, as you reveal those, I pray you would give us the desire to let go of them. That you'd help us to let go of them, and that we would grab a hold of you and your truth and your word and your goodness and your love. We are so thankful that we can call you Father. We're so thankful that we have you at the center of our lives. And I pray we would grow in relationship with you. And God, help us to grow closer together as your body, as your church here in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to ask you to stand. You know, I've been thinking a lot and praying a lot about that this week, because our focus can be so off kilter. Along with what Todd challenged you with and encouraged you with, I'm going to ask you to consider some form of fasting and prayer this week. Maybe food fasting isn't your thing. I'm going to maybe ask you, I thought about this morning, I'm going to fast from social media and media in general for a week. That's a little scary for me, because I feel like somehow if I'm in the know, I'm in control. That's delusional. So I want to encourage you to do what I'm going to do when the time I would normally spend maybe looking at social media, watching the news, I'm instead going to look at scripture and listen to worship music. I want to encourage you to do that. Understand the God we serve. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want us to read together a couple of verses out of Hebrews as we conclude our time together today with that and a song. So let's read these together. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. The kingdom that he has given us will not, cannot be shaken. Therefore, as the body of Christ, as followers of Jesus, you cannot, you will not, I will not be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
Let's sing about that as we close our time together today. Those words in your head, that Christ is exalted over all. That truth has not changed in the last week or in the last year or in the last century or in the last millennium. That truth has been true truth from the minute God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So go out and walk in that light. Church, be the church. You are the church. When you go into this world, we are the hope that we are the hope of the world, because Jesus said it would be. Thank you for coming. Have a great week. Stay focused on Him.